want to ask you, is life challenging? There's a lot of needs, right? There's a lot of pressure. What I'm going to share with you today about Jesus' mission, number four, is to talk about how he will set us free, help us. It's going to be a long list, a lot of symptom manifestation of oppression. But that's the purpose, not to check on you or check on others. It's just a soul searching to understand the dynamic, right? I think a Wednesday morning when Marlene walked into my room, told me about the news about Christina got into the accident. I said, oh my goodness. You know, my grandson going to be 4 years old. My wife and my daughter is expecting a child, maybe by the end of June or beginning of July, and got into the accident like that. It could be all killed, you know. It's a Kansas City, you know. It's cold weather, you know, slippery, you know, but God spared them. Of course, on the other hand, my son-in-law struggled. They just spent $10,000, bought that car, it's gone. No insurance, you know. That's just reality of life, right? We face reality of life, illness, difficulty, being laid off, maybe, you know, your work is unstable, maybe the marital problem, all kinds of children problem. But be reminded, you are children of God. I feel that the faith will be tested is in the difficult time, right? In the good time, everybody give thanksgiving, you know. I appreciate my wife share that. If she didn't share, I'm going to share this. I'm very thankful, right? We really feel thankful is the time we know we have no control. We don't deserve it. It could be much worse and something happened. Is that right? But sometimes, even in the difficult time, we still give thanks because we know God is good. Amen? His love endures one day forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's read the scripture together. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. Let's read together. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood out to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was held to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Let's pray again. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. As we worship you just now, we need you. We want you. We want the reality. We don't just want a slogan, just a worship time proclamation. We want the reality. We just pray you come. You minister to each one of us. We all in different stage of life, face different challenge. May you encourage us, strengthen us, lead us next step in Jesus' name. Amen. We just read a scripture that's in Luke chapter 4. It's about Jesus' mission on the earth. I already covered a couple of times. What are the mission, Jesus' mission on the earth? First is preach the good news to the poor. To the poor is materially poor, also spiritually poor. We praise the Lord. Our God care for the poor. Secondly, is breaking the dark power in people's life. There are three kinds. It's the dark power of imprisonment, the dark power of blindness. I covered that last time. Today we will cover that he will break the power, dark power of oppression. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, D reads, to release the oppressed, being oppressed. Jesus come to release the oppressed. You'll be surprised. Many times we are oppressed by the present darkness in our life. So I look up to see the meaning of the word oppress is to break into pieces. Symbolically, it means to destroy, weaken, or oppress. Another relate meaning is a relationship being enslaved or controlled by others. It may also refer to the oppression of law or legalism, forcing someone to follow the law, or it may refer to the condition of being controlled by sinful passion and pleasure. So based upon those usage, we can draw the following application. The third impact of the dark power is oppression. It controls one's emotion, will, heart, mind, interpersonal relationship. It creates all kinds of distortion and illness, enslave, control a person. You know, I just wonder, sometime in a week, you know, in the regular week, maybe we are very busy, there are deadlines, there are different kind of things. Did you sense that oppress come upon you? That something just make you down? There's a power through your daily life. Maybe you wonder, what are some phenomena of someone being oppressed? There are some symptoms of such oppression. The first one, there are 11 of them. I will share with them briefly each one. The first one is the oppression of soul tie. How many of you know what does soul tie mean? Soul tie. What does that mean? What do you know about soul tie? Soul tie means when a person's emotion, will, selfhood, and these are deeply controlled or controlled by another person or connect with another person. It's called soul tie. Soul tie will jeopardize marriage and lead to infidelity. They warp a person's character, making it irresponsible, inadaptable. There are two kinds of soul tie. One is soul ties of fornication/adultery. Based upon the Bible, God's design for the sexual activity is within the marriage only. Any sexual relationship outside the marriage is sin, is forbid. If one has sexual relationship with someone before or she is married, that is sin of fornication. If one has sexual relationship other than his or her spouse, that's sin of adultery. When a person commits sin of fornication or adultery, he becomes one with that person, including the union of the body, emotion, and will. And the natural result of that is a soul tie. And that needs to be broken. That's one kind of soul tie. There's another kind is soul tie to the one's parents. That's very common among Asian family, among Chinese family. I'm dealing with many of them, even right now in our Mandarin congregation, is when the kids grow up, they leave the house, but their spirit or their soul can never leave their home. Their parents love them so much, they want to control everything. I think it's in the name of love, right? I just wonder, you know, if you are parents, you will understand sometime when you see your kids, it seems like they are going on the wrong route, you know, they are not that smart, they make the wrong decision. It's a very difficult feeling. You know, I try to speak on the parent side, also I will speak on behalf of children. Actually, when I started ministry in Chinese for Christ, Berkeley Church, started with the youth ministry, you know, we actually start with a pastor and parents meeting. That's how we start a ministry. Because the parents saw us as the Messiah. You have to listen to this. This is very interesting sharing. The parents saw us come because Maya and I, we just graduated from seminary. We came at the age 30. We didn't have kids yet. So we try to disciple those children. And they love us, of course. They think, here comes a minister who is young, you know, he probably will listen to us. He won't act like their parents. Of course, we won't act like their parents because we are not their parents, right? So we listen to them. Then we have a meeting with the parents. Then we listen to parents. What do they say? Then we be the bridge. That's how we started ministry. It was very fruitful. But what I try to say is, Many times, the Asian parents, Chinese parents, maybe some American parents, maybe just parents, they cannot let go. To many Chinese parents, they have a thinking that kids are theirs, no matter how old you are. Anybody say amen? You need to have that kind of background. It also happened to Marlene and I. You know, we deal with our children many times in the name of love. I already told you, this message is for my own soul searching. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. So that creates a soul tie. Dear brother and sister, soul tie is an oppression. If we cannot let go, we'll be always anxious. Children are inheritance from God only for a certain season. I not try to criticize Chinese culture, but that's something had to go, right? Because originally, God created Adam and Eve, right? And Jesus talked about, that's why the marriage is husband and wife. They had to leave, they had to cleave, and they become one. That's a very difficult thing. But if that doesn't be, that soul tie is not broken, it's very hard for this married couple. It's very hard because the mother-in-law or mother always will be there. Father always be there. Usually it's mother. Usually it's mother-in-law, okay, usually. But sometimes have both. So this young married couple, or this couple, very hard to develop their own life. So just a reference for you, that soul tie need to be broken. And hopefully the parents will know the truth. The truth will set them free. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes that freedom is so good. I'm going to talk about more later on. There's another oppression, is the oppression of fear. It's the lack of security. Do you have fear? Actually, there are all kinds of fear. But there's an oppression of fear. When fear dominates our life so much, it becomes a control. Right? We have all kinds of fear. Fear of darkness, fear of height, fear of death. But when the fear becomes a dominant force in our life, it starts to oppress us. If you read Genesis, you will find out the first fear happened to Adam and Eve, right? I shared that before. Adam and Eve usually walk with God every day until one day. And God asked, "Where are you, Adam?" What did Adam say? "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Was Adam naked before? But why? He wasn't afraid. Because sin entered mankind, right? Create a fear. But when fear is so strong, it starts to dominate our lives, to oppress us. I tell you the truth. Sometime in the morning when I get up, I think about the days, that day and the challenge ahead of me, I have fear. So you know what I did? I started to praise the Lord. It's really work. You try not to say, "Do not fear." You try to analyze why you're fearful. We have all kinds of reasons, because since the fall of mankind, that open the doorway, come in the fear. Amen? When you are aging, you grow older, you're concerned. We don't use the words fear, but we use the words concern. The same thing. So how are you doing? "I'm fine." You see people, "I'm fine." You hear the voice, it's not that fine, but that's courteous. You have to say that. "I just have a little concern." "May I know what's your concern?" "I concern about my eyes. I concern about my health. I concern about my financial needs. I concern about my income." Another oppression is oppression of lustful thoughts. Lustful thought make a person unfaithful to his, her spouse in his, her thoughts, involving the person infidelity. I think this challenging in today's society with the technology, right? The pornography becomes something so easy to get to. And but remember, this can become oppression. We need to break that. Another one is the oppression of hot-headedness and selfishness. You know, when a person is hot-head, he never thinks he's hot-head. He always think, we always think we are open-minded, right? What does hot-headedness mean? Can someone give me the definition? Maybe Ricky can give me. What does hot-headedness? Huh? Controlled by your emotion? Okay, that's good. So we need to deal with the emotion, right? Is that right, Ricky? Becky, do you agree? Temperamental, okay? So the moment. In other words, it can be very stubborn, right? If I feel this way, and that's the way. Also, selfishness, or maybe self-centeredness. We are pretty focused on self. That can become oppression, can control you. You cannot relate to others. You cannot understand other people's feeling. Fifthly, the oppression of worry. I talk about the fear, right? If there's oppression of fear in our life, will lead to worry. How many of you try to use out the worry for the rest of the year? This is January 1st of 2015. I start to worry the rest of the year. May I ask you, why do people worry? This is called self-searching. Why do people worry? Or maybe you can ask yourself, why do I worry about certain things? Can someone help me? Why? Why do people worry? Lack of security. Okay.
Uncertainty.
In other words, out of control. You cannot control. How many of you know how long you will live? I know, you'll answer me forever, right? Yes, yes. I understand that spiritually is eternal life, yeah, but earthly life, how long, how many of you know how long you will live? Rogelio knows? Okay. But you still don't know how many years, right? There's many things you don't know, right? How long? Do you know how long you can hold to the current job? You don't know. How long your company will last? I don't think it's forever. Everything changed, right? So do you think worry help? We all know that. But Jesus talked about that on the Sermon on Mount, right? He said, do not worry what to eat, what to drink. You know, that's become very real to today's American. You look at statistics, a lot of people don't have job nowadays. They just don't report. They give up. What to eat, what to drink, where to live become a real issue to many Americans right now, not even in the foreign country. It's very real. Say, Pastor Joseph, how can I not worry if I don't have enough money? But the problem is the worry doesn't help, and we don't need to worry. And just now, Irene said, you know, we're looking forward to see God. You know, we want to see him. You don't have to see God until forever you join him. You know, when you die, you can see him right now on your daily basis. You seek him. You seek him first, his kingdom and righteousness. All the things will be added unto you. The thing is, we have to experience that personally. Then you are convinced. Then you start to immune from worry in that area. Amen? Does God care for your needs? Jesus said that. You know, you look at the birds in the air, you know, they didn't They don't do anything. They don't plow. They don't store. God provides their needs. But you have to experience that. Then you have faith in the Lord. And then when your business is not that good, then you're still worry-free. Another oppression is oppression of doubt. If we become doubt, may I ask you why a person becomes doubtful? But how about they just have no faith in many things? I say doubtful, right? Sometimes there's a reasonable doubt. A person walking, you know, a stranger, you know, you don't know that person. So there's something inside. I think it deals with fear, insecurity, upbringing. But when a person becomes so doubtful, his life is very miserable. I think in the Old Testament, there was a guy called Saul, right? King Saul, he was so suspicious, so jealous toward David. It's amazingly, you go to read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. A king, a big nation, what he was doing, he was pursue a young man because he viewed him as a potential threat. May the Lord help us. We need to be filled with the Spirit. So we have confidence in the Lord, so we have a confidence in ourselves. We know we are children of God, so we don't need to compare and compete. Amen? I try to share about every area of this oppression, how you break it. About the worry, you need to have faith in the Lord. Doubt, you need to know who you are. Another one is the oppression of bitterness. As one continues to live in the spirit of unforgiveness, he tends to be angry, bitter, malicious, and critical. What's the challenge? Why we cannot forgive? Why? We usually feel that person doesn't deserve of forgiveness. But the forgiveness really is not about that person. Forgiveness is about yourself. Amen? If we don't forgive that person will be in a jail in our memory and will always think about that. So we need to step out by faith and say, I forgive certain person for whatever he has hurt me. In the name of Jesus, then we can be free from that jail. Many times when maybe we are offended by someone, that person even doesn't know, then we will suffer continually. Also, if we don't forgive people, there'll be effect of bitterness. What is bitterness? Is everything you see, it's not positive, right? Just that ill feeling. It's very difficult. And we thank God, Jesus come to set us free from that. Isn't that wonderful? I try to make this as relevant as possible. We all struggle with bitterness, worry, fear. Another oppression is the oppression of secularization. Is love the worldly things. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, that's a problem. Listen to this verse. The love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The reason God doesn't want us to love the world, because when you love the world, you cannot love the Lord. It's a mutually exclusive. These verses are not for us to criticize other people. It's for us to self-examine, right? You already define here, what's the word? The craving of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and boasting of what he has and does. Isn't that very clear? That's what the people always try to do. They boast what they had accomplished, what they possessed. It's wonderful that we are not just not love the world. We pursue the Lord, so we don't have time to love the world. Right? Our slogan is not just to prevent from sinning. We will love Jesus so much, have no time, no space to sin. Amen? Rather just check. We pursue the right thing. Another oppression is oppression of one's temper and emotion. We talked about earlier, you know, hot-headedness. You know, we have to manage our emotion. I think we can realize our emotion, but we don't want to be emotional all the time. We cannot make our decision based upon our emotion. Amen? We know that, but we need to set free from that oppression. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of men, or maybe women too, they say, I have a hot temper. I cannot control myself. I think we need to deal with the root. Why you have such hot temper? It's not just, maybe sometimes genetic, but I think anger deal with hurts. A lot of disappointment, hurts in the past, unresolved. You press down, will be anger. You'll be an angry person. That become a power, control you. The oppression of pressure and depression. How many of you feel pressured during the week? Every week there's a pressure of work. I think you probably pressure so much you cannot raise your hand. It's just a reality. I think we need to learn how to deal with pressure, how to reduce pressure. Amen? How can we deal with pressure? Just look at yourself in the mirror, say, no pressure, no big deal. Isn't that all with a perspective? Think about one thing right now. I want all of you to maybe close your eyes just for 30 seconds. Think about one thing give you the most pressure right now. Think about that. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Is that really, really big deal? Patrick, not here. Yes, it's a big deal. Yeah, of course, it's a big deal to you. So that's why there's a pressure there, right? There's a stress there. But I say, if we bring God in right now, the Lord Jesus come to set oppressed free. We bring Jesus into the picture. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's a marital challenge. The pressure comes is, I need to resolve it by my strength, by a certain way. Amen? Maybe we need to come out of the box to see differently. This past Thursday, I share a story with you. This past Thursday night, we have a Kingdom Prayer Center here for the five Chinese church. We prayed together this the fifth years. I try to share the scripture about arise God to disperse the enemy, to cast away the enemy. I use the Moses example. You know, when Pharaoh sent all the special force, Egyptian special force, ran after 2 million Israelites. Moses faced the Red Sea ahead of him. So may I ask you, if you were Moses, what are some methodology or some way you think you will carry all the 2 million Israels across the Red Sea? What are some possible way? This is very important. I'm sharing with you. This is very important. This will help you to break stress. By boat, right? What else? 2 million people swim? Think about methodology. If you are Moses, the time is running out. What are some possible way? huh? Walk around, right? But those are special force, right? They will catch you. They get you. So actually, in a way, there's no way. I personally feel most of them have time to think about that because too many people. He said, God, bail me out. I told you, I wasn't the right person. I told you. Is that right? I wasn't the right person. See? Right now I'm stuck. I personally, this Thursday when I shared that, I personally feel so encouraged by what I was sharing. Because I didn't think about that way. You know, the Lord just say, you know, you raise your staff. The wind will come. The rest of you will be divided. Then you guys will walk through. And the timing was perfect. After they all walked through, well, 2 million people to walk through took a while. And the special force came, and the sea closed. Time was perfect. And then Moses led all Israelites to praise God, the psalm. They praised that from the bottom of heart. Because the Lord broke the stress. If the thing didn't happen, they all will be killed or enslaved, brought back to Egypt, right? Maybe you and I, we face something right now very challenging, very stressful, because it's so important to you and me. I face a lot of challenge right now. It's pretty stressful. Sometimes you pray for something, you pray for certain things that stress you out, it seems like no solution yet, amen? Tell your neighbors, say, not yet. Don't give up, right? Don't give up. You need to come out of the box. If you haven't remember whatever I say today, remember, Moses had no way to lead the 2 million people go across Red Sea at that moment. But God solved the problem that Moses can never thought about. No human being can think about that. Isn't that wonderful? So you need a creative idea. Go to read the Bible. May the Lord give you the spirit. And finally is the oppression of the spirit of death that's happened so commonly nowadays, right? Many people, they kill other people, they kill themselves. It's a suicidal tendency. So maybe you wonder, how can we cut off this power of oppression or break that? Number one is confess our sin humbly to the Lord. We ask the Lord to enlighten us about the root of this oppression. Then we confess to the Lord. Secondly, we need to surrender to the Lordship of Christ about the control. Thirdly, we declare, we believe that Jesus died for me, resurrect for me, and give me the Holy Spirit. Give me the salvation. And the Lord is with you and me. Amen? The Lord is with you, dear brother and sister. I want to encourage you to the Lord is with you amidst all your challenge. He is with you right now. Even you have little faith, he's with you. You have great faith, he's with you. You lose control, he's with you. He's always with you. I heard so many people testimony. The encouraging thing is, even in our dark hour, we fail the Lord. God is with us. Amen. Amen? Let's overcome together. And finally, you know, the step is by faith. You need to break those oppression in your life, one by one. There's a model prayer for that. You need that. I can give to you. The final mission Jesus had on the earth is proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. That's called the Jubilee. In the Mosaic law, there's the year, there's 1 year in every 50s. In that year, the debt can be set free. The slave can set free. Only for the 50th years. And Jesus say that is, when he say that's my job, you know, to proclaim the good news to the poor, to set people free from the oppression, from the imprisonment, from blindness. And after that, he say, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus say, it is fulfilled in front of your eyes today. When Jesus came, he bring the year of the Lord's favor. the season start from them. Today can be, this year can be the Lord's favor for you. If we let the Lord to set us free, then we in turn to set people free. I believe I planted a seed in your mind today. You can practice that. I don't need to be oppressed by all these things. I can overrule. I can break that. Because I have the Lord's favor. I'm His child. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We can reflect on your word. Reflect upon Jesus' mission on this earth. We live in a very challenging time. We have personal challenge, family challenge, national challenge. We just ask you to continue to give us a desire to seek you. We are not hide. We arise and fight and face the challenge. May the challenge make us stronger, wiser. We just pray that you help us set us free. In turn, we can set other people free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We conclude our worship here.